Welcome to Where is God's Word with your host, Bruce Musselman, brought to you by the Mattaway Country Baptist Church of Aurora, Ohio. Bruce combines over 40 years of experience as a pastor, Bible teacher, and author. His program addresses topics surrounding the authority and inerrancy of the Bible. Here now with this week's edition of Where is God's Word is Bruce Musselman.
Once again, we're so glad to meet with you, and the Lord has given us another week, and we're one day closer to the time when Jesus comes back and turns this world into a paradise. And so, meanwhile, we thank God we have His Word, and the main idea of this program is to uphold the fact that we have His Word in the authorized King James Bible. And the Bible says the word of God liveth and abideth forever. And the other translations, of course, they come and go almost as fast as they're put out. But I guess maybe 400 have been out now. And I remember ones that they were promoting when 50 years ago when I was in school. And they're still, they're all disappeared. And you only hear about them in a history book. But the Word of God, which was being used by God's people by the millions, is still being read today over all the rest of them put together. And God said that the Holy Spirit would guide you into all truth. He guided the apostles, and then in the gift of tongues, why He simply gave them the translation into the many different languages that you can read about, and then He preserved those words, and He was involved with the translators when the King James Bible translated them. And so we can read the authorized Bible, and we can know that it's true. It says, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. So it's not in mankind to do it, but it's in God who does it for us, and He keeps them. He's the one that runs the stars in a fraction of a second, and we tell time by that. We can tell spiritual time by the Word of God. Now, one of the things that is very important and I want to talk about today, as I was getting ready to come to the program, I was listening to Dr. Phil, and he's an interesting character, and I agree with a lot of what he said. But today he was talking about a mother, and she was disturbed because her daughter had gay emotions and thinking that she was, I think, a boy or something like that. And she had been sexually molested earlier, and which probably affected the way that she thought. And according to Dr. Phil, he said that psychologists have accepted this as normal behavior. And so basically that the gay lifestyle was normal behavior. Well, and then he made this statement, and he said that he was a Christian, and then he basically held to this idea. And, well, that is a problem we have today, because in reality, people think that they can believe anything and call themselves a Christian. Well, it's a free country, and they can say whatever they want, but the fact of the matter is that Jesus connected His words with Himself. Jesus said, "He that heareth My word and believeth on Him that sent Me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." Christianity is not defined by psychologists, by ministers, preachers, popes, rabbis, or anybody else. It's defined by the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, who He personally said He would keep. And He has given many scripture verses. There's as many scripture verses pointing to the King James Bible as the pure and perfect Word of God as verses pointing to Jesus coming the first time as the perfect Son of God coming into the world and God made manifest in the flesh. And so a Muslim came to me one time, and he said, "Well, why do you think you're right and everybody else is wrong?" And I thought, well, he's an interesting character to ask that question. Well, I told him, I says, because our religion was given by God. The Bible says Jesus Christ is the author and finisher of our faith. And in 1 Timothy chapter 3, in verse 15 and 16, and I'll talk about that, and then we're going to discuss some of the manuscript evidence. Did you find some of that in that book, in verse 16?
I'm still looking at some other things.
Yeah, okay. All right. Now, I'm talking to Brother Alan. He's here with us today, and I thank God for it. And then Brother Will's with us today, too. He drove me here, and I thank him for him. But it says, 1 Timothy 3:15, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. So the church of the living God, started by Jesus Christ, and referring to churches all through the ages that were under the authority of Jesus Christ. A true church is under the authority of Jesus. He's the head of the church. And he is the head of the church through his words. And it says it is the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. Now, the truth is not the church. The truth is the word of God. But the true church is the one that upholds the truth. It's called the pillar. That's what upholds the building, and the ground is what the building's sitting on. So the true church, and they have been here right from the time of Christ. They're known as Anabaptist, and today Bible-believing King James Baptist churches are that. And there's many others, too, that believe the same doctrine and have believed it down through the ages, and they are the true churches of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so now, in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, it says this, and we're going to continue on with this passage. It says, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. Somebody said that they were at a big conference of the JWs down Jehovah's Witnesses downtown in a stadium, and a fellow got up and said that Jesus wasn't God, and there was a great roar of approval to that statement. Well, right here it says, God was manifest in the flesh. He was made known in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles. It was God that preached to the Gentiles. Believed on in the world, that was God. Received up into glory. And it's talking about Jesus Christ there. Jesus is God. 1 John 5:20, it says, we know that the Son of God hath come and hath given us an understanding that we might know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God. The Father, God the Father, says to the Son, unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. It's in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 8, and we could go on quoting verse after verse. I was talking to a Jehovah's Witness lady just recently, and I pointed this out. It's amazing how people can slide around the absolute truth. And I told her, I said, I read some Jehovah's Witnesses books years ago, and even not too long ago. And then I thought, well, what does the Bible say about it? And I read through the New Testament, and the New Testament says Jesus is God over and over and over and over again. I mean, it can't be any clearer than that. And passages referring to Jehovah in the New Testament are referring to Jesus. Now, if Jesus is God, and we say that we're Christians, we can't. If psychology says one thing and the Jesus words say something else, he's our creator. His words have more authority and are more true than what any psychologist says. They're more true than what a pope says. They're more true than what a preacher says. And, you know, this program here, we're not saying that just because I said you're to automatically believe it. We're trying to get you, and particularly I'm talking to preachers, that you begin to investigate this subject. And we have given you the books. One of the great books that came out, it sold 300,000 copies because people read it and knew it was true, was New Age Bible Versions by Gail Riplinger. And thousands of people read that, and they passed it on, and more read it, and they passed it on. And it's out there, and it shows where the changes have been made in thousands of words. It goes through 2,500 scripture verses and shows where the changes have been made. And so the text that we support is the received text given to us by Christ and his apostles. It wasn't the church that gave us the Bible. It was Jesus and his apostles. He said the Holy Spirit would guide them into all truth, and he would teach them things to come. And it says they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. And the apostles taught the words of Jesus. And then in the gift of tongues, Jesus gave him the translations. And you see this in the book of Acts. Paul says, I spoke in tongues more than you all. Why? He wasn't speaking. Tongues is not a revival of Babel. It's a reversal of Babel. And, you know, it amazes me sometimes when people say they have the gift of tongues and they need a translator. Well, in the New Testament, when they began to preach the word in the New Testament, there was a miracle of hearing took place, and every man heard them in his own language in which he was born. And Paul gives a whole chapter. And first of all, in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and so on, he talks about what they were doing. He describes what they were doing. And then he says, when I pray, I'll pray with my spirit and my understanding. I'll know what I'm saying when I'm praying. And so he says, when I speak, and he says, I'll speak so that people can understand me. He says, how can a person go to battle? And so God has given us his words. And he said, I pray not for the world, but for them that thou hast given me out of the world. For I have given them the words that thou hast given me. It just takes simple faith, childlike faith. And quit listening to Unitarians. If you read the book Hazardous Materials by Dr. Ripplinger, you can read where she documents the evidence and reads their statements in hundreds and hundreds of detailed pages. It's put out by unbelievers. The Bible says the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, neither can they know them, for they're spiritually discerned. And so when you have people putting out these statements dealing with textual history, now I've read them. In fact, most of the evidence that a lot of them have given back up what I'm saying on the radio, and I've for 30 years I've read every book that I could get my hands on, pro and con, on this subject. And by the way, I'm not just coming from left field, and I don't want to say this. I want to say this because, point this out, I just come out of nowhere. In the state of Ohio here, we have 700 independent Baptist churches, and one of the largest Baptist fellowships, pastors' fellowships, has voted me in the past over and over again. I finally resigned, although year after year they voted me in almost unanimously as chairman of the pastors' fellowship. And I'm just bringing this up for the simple reason that I'm not coming out of left field. Pastors agreed with what I'm saying. I mean, and there's hundreds and hundreds of them and hundreds of churches that believe what we're saying on the radio today, and there's millions of people in the past, and I believe hundreds of thousands today. Latest polls show that more people read the King James than all the rest of them put together, the ones that read it every day. I'm not talking about some company that sells some new versions for a little while and then the thing goes out of business. I'm talking for the Word of God that liveth, abideth forever. And so not only that, we studied Greek. We've been given a couple of honorary doctors degrees for schools where we taught it. And I'm simply saying this. We didn't come out of nowhere. We know what we're talking about. And I'm not saying believe it just because I say it, but investigate the subject. We give you book after book of people that came out of the chaos cult, and that's what I call them. And somehow the Bible talks about ignorant brethren, and then it talks about people that are willfully ignorant. And we have an army of people out there. We have ministers out there that are willfully ignorant. They refuse to read anything contrary than what they were taught. And I'm telling you, what they were taught is spiritual wickedness in high places. I have a book here, and we've been talking about it, called Which Bible Would Jesus Use? By Jack McElroy. And if you have an internet today, you as a Christian need to read this book. It's interesting. And in there, he quotes some of the leading fundamentalists. And he quotes them, and they back one book one time, like they'll back the new ASV, and then they'll say how wonderful it is, and then later on, 10 years later, the NIV, and then something else. And then he shows in here page after page where these two disagree with each other. That's what we're talking about. They disagree not only words, but the meanings of the words. That's why we have this program. The whole thing is chaos. It's chaos in the Greek departments. It's chaos in the critical apparatus underneath. And we have gone over every one of these things and showed how it's contradictory, it's nonsense, and it's called spiritual wickedness in high places. And what we're saying is you need to investigate. Now, you need to get this book, Which Bible Would Jesus Use as a Start, by Jack McElroy. And then another one is Which Version Is God's Word, by Floyd Nolan Jones. These are guys that did their homework. The research is all there, of the latest research, and it's biblical. And it gives the documented evidence for the readings in the King James. You get these so-called Bibles, and then even sometimes they'll have study Bibles out questioning words in the King James. Well, they don't need to question them, because God said he would preserve his words. And he says, I've honored my word above all my name. And you see, no book in history has been honored like the King James Bible. Why? God has honored it. Brother Al, if you got something to say as we're going along, speak up.
Well, all these books that you're referencing, if you go online to your website, whereisgodsword.com, that's whereisgodsword.com, there's links there where they can go and they can find these books. And you mentioned Floyd Nolan's book, Which Version Is the Bible? That one there, you don't even have to buy it. You can download that for free if you're online. And, of course, all that information is available there.
Well, thank you very much. And I mentioned this one. Here's one. If you want to teach this in a Bible school, here's a book called Landmarks of English Bible Manuscript Evidence, prepared by Pastor Robert J. Sargent. He covers this subject massively, and he has lessons where the person can read it and then answer questions, and you can have it a semester. And I've taught this a number of times. This is a 327-page book. It's large pages. And you could teach. It's called A Comprehensive Study in Bible Introduction for the Use and Training of Men for the Baptist Ministry. But even if you're not in a Baptist ministry, that is a book. I am telling you that the evidence is overwhelming for the readings of the King James, and yet these Bibles have these little footnotes that question verse after verse. And in 1 Timothy 3:16, do you have any evidence now dealing with that, Al? Did you find something?
In 1 Timothy 3:16,
yeah.
And of course the verse is, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. And the controversy comes over that statement, God was manifest in the flesh. The modern versions say, he who was manifest in the flesh. And there's some that even put Christ in there as opposed to that. But it boils down to the fact that the Textus Receptus has the Greek word theos, which is what?
It's God. It's always translated. It's
That's
never
not he, is it?
Anything. It's always translated God, the word theos.
Exactly.
Never anything else.
And the Alexandrian text removed a mark in the one letter in theos, which was used to represent God, and changed it to a generic he. And in doing so, they took away the deity of God. They took God out of it, didn't they?
They sure did.
And then they try to say that it's not in the oldest ones, and nobody in the early centuries referenced it, but there's an older book than some of the ones you've been referencing here called The Revision Revised by Dean Bergen. And he cites a number of books that have this. and a number, or I'm sorry, a number of Bibles, the Georgian Bible in the 6th century, for instance. But he also goes back to writers in the 1st century. Ignatius referenced this verse using the word God in the year 90 AD.
And Ignatius was taught by John the Apostle.
Right, Hippolytus in the year 190 AD quoted this as God was manifest in the flesh. Now, these all kind of predate the Alexandrian text, don't they?
Yeah, which is about 1% of the evidence, and that disagrees. That's why textual critics call it the eclectic text.
Yeah, and in fact, here's the quote Hippolytus wrote, God was manifest in the flesh, and he was using that in his work against the heresies of Noetus. So, and then, of course, Dionysius in the 3rd century said, for God was manifest in the flesh. It would go on and on. The information's out there if people have eyes to see.
Yeah, and the thing is, these modern translations, I mean, everyone is from a different text, and they're continually changing the text all the time. The books, that's where they're deceptive, say translation. Well, everyone comes from a different Greek text, and they're messing with the Greek text. And the ones that they use are based from, as we said so many times, Vaticanus or Sinaiticus, which disagree 3,000 times, plus the Vatican is based on photographs the Pope gave the world. And those photographs don't agree, for crying out loud. It just goes on. The whole thing is so crazy, and yet they keep right on doing it. Somebody says, well, don't talk about it. Well, we must talk about it, because you can't separate Jesus from his words.
Yeah, somebody pointed out that God doesn't belong here. It should be he, because the Vaticanus doesn't say God. Well, in all fairness, we must point out the Vaticanus doesn't say God, and it doesn't say he, because the Vaticanus is missing all of 1st and 2nd Timothy completely.
Yeah, so it just, I mean, the madness just goes on. And furthermore, he who was manifest in the flesh, I was talking to a French teacher that taught that, and she says that's not even a grammatical sentence. You know, I don't know. I mean, we just go on and talk about this, but some people, I think they think like, my mind is made up, don't confuse me with the facts. But this is dealing with Jesus Christ, and we have said this so many times. Dr. Logsdon, a famous Bible teacher who is pastor of Moody Church, was discussing this with the guy that put out the New American Standard Version, Lachman. And he says, we're in trouble with God when he was informed of all the changes. And that's so typical. The 100 places Jesus had taken out of that corrupt manuscript. Lachman said, and we've said this many times, but we need to remind you of this. Lachman says, when I come back from my honeymoon, we'll talk about it. Well, he didn't come back with his bride. He came back in a box. He died on his honeymoon. And it wasn't an accident, didn't just happen, because God he's concerned about his word. God said, and then Jesus said in another place, I beseech you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ that you all speak the same thing. What in the world is going on when you have preachers and everyone has a different perversion of the scripture that disagrees with one another? And this book, Which Bible is God's Word, he shows how leading individuals recommend Bibles, and then 10 years later they recommend another one, how accurate it is, and then those Bibles disagree with each other. This is crazy. You people people say, well, the Bible's the final authority. Which Bible's the final authority? You say the originals. You don't have the originals, and you know it. Well, we got the Word of God. It's something we can look at. James says we can look at the perfect law of liberty. And it's the evidence that we have eternal life, because believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And we have put our trust in him for salvation. And if you do, you can know that when you die, you'll go to heaven and meet God in joy. God bless you.
You have been listening to Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. If you enjoyed today's program and would like to receive a free brochure that lists 100 references where the name of Jesus has been omitted from modern versions, we invite you to drop us an email at sos1611@gmail.com. That's sos1611@gmail.com. Where is God's Word is sponsored by the Mantua Country Baptist Church, located at 12385 Chamberlain Road near Aurora, Ohio. Pastor Murray Bay and the congregation cordially invite you to worship with them. Sunday morning services are held at 10 and 11 a.m. For directions or more information, please call 330-562-6600. That's 330-562-6600. Or write to the Mantua Country Baptist Church, 12385 Chamberlain Road, Aurora, Ohio, 44202. Tune in again next week at this same time for another edition of Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman.